This is Zemai Media, broadcasting all around the world, on the spot, on the dot.
It is Friday morning, and the UK has voted to leave the European Union. Waking up to a Thursday morning yesterday, quick peruse of British newspapers, one could just but wonder the level of political intoxication in British newsprints, the type that would be totally intolerable in African societies. Two contesting views in a very bitter, close election, screaming for attention. Stay or exit. Independence Day, read the Sun paper, with a catchy graphic at the top, somewhat reminding everyone of the mood in Rhodesia a day before Zimbabwe was spit out of the British Empire. Vote leave today, read the Daily Express. But you would also get to see a few papers that chose the middle of the road position. Your country needs your vote, read the Daily Star. Many Africans, and Zimbabweans in particular, are apprehensive on the future, especially now that the UK is just about officially out of the EU. I caught up with Labour Councillor for Ashford District Council, Nicole Ndiweni, and the following was our discussion.
Morning, Nick. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I was wondering, what's happening? Where are we going with this revelation that we were all fooled?
Oh, goodness. Well, what are your thoughts, actually, is the question. And because I voted to remain, so...
I also voted to remain. But, you know, there were split views on this. Even those who voted to remain, they were somewhat intoxicated by this propaganda to leave. And perhaps maybe that was contributory to the swing.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think there was such going on in this election that, in this, you know, voting process, that it was difficult to see, you know, the wood for the trees, really, from the trees. And I'm not surprised. That's the honest truth. I'm not surprised that Farage has gone back on his word. I'm not surprised. And I don't think anyone should, really.
Within just about minutes of it being announced.
Yeah, of course. I mean, have you not seen, I mean, just looking at the pound, how the pound has dropped, oil prices have gone up, everything. I mean, obviously, we would expect something like this to happen. Now it's just about seeing how long this will last and how long and what it will take to settle and the impact on the British public moving forward. But I'm not surprised, you know, scaremongering, scare tactics, scapegoating. I mean, voting out of the EU doesn't guarantee that everyone leaves right now. So, you know, getting people to say, you know, convincing people that it'll get rid of all the immigrants, which is pretty much judging by the Leave campaign material, you know, all the images of all these people, they take back control. It was all about scaring people and making them think that, you know, we've got, I mean, we do have a lot of things to address with immigration in the UK, how we make things better for people coming in, how we offer opportunities, how we border control, like every other country in the whole world has to deal with. But to make people think that the problem is bigger than what it is, to scare people, you know, this is how it was going to end. I mean, looking at the death of the MP, Joe Cox, as well, you can't ignore kind of feelings that it's stirred up in people. And this is down to these types of campaigns that, you know, Nigel Farage is happy to run with. And so someone like that, who bases a lot of his arguments on divide and conquer, he's never been pro the NHS. So when he said, you know, that would happen, people should have seen straight through that. But people were so busy arguing about immigration, I think that they forgot to see that there are other issues, like the fact that the European Union is a platform for European nations to discuss common problems.
Immigration could have been settled. It was being handled, even though, even at the time that the UK was still in the EU. I mean, I'm talking about immigration with the rest of Europe here. People were now being controlled when they, am I wrong to say that? There were measures, and there were measures that could have still, extra measures that could have been implemented.
Of course. Even stronger conversations could have been had with immigration, you know, the Minister of Immigration. We could have looked at other things. We could have looked at other ways of handling this. And I just feel that that whole conversation was hijacked with they're all taking over, they're all taking our jobs, they're all, you know, when in fact less migrants use the NHS and more migrants actually work for the NHS. You know, things like that where you've got, you know, Asian doctors, you know, Filipino doctors, African nurses, carers, cleaners. They're not a drain to society. They contribute more to the system. They pay a lot in taxes than they actually take out. So some of these, you know, misconceptions that were being thrown around have put us in this position today. I mean, who would have ever thought that an MP in the UK would get brutally murdered on her, you know, in the city and town she came from in broad daylight? We cannot ignore the amount of, you know, hatred and rhetoric that's been used in this election. We can't.
What about the threat now of the kingdom breaking up? I mean, we've had Scotland and Ireland, Northern Ireland, sorry, not Northern Ireland, but the Ireland now threatening to break away from the UK. Could we have, and I'm looking at it here, coupled with the revelations that there's just been so much disinformation here. Is there a possibility of a rerun? I know that could sound far-fetched.
Yeah, that could really.
I haven't seen many people talking about this so far, but I'm just thinking, due to the impact that this has already had on the economy and the disaster, the looming disaster, more of what we haven't yet seen. I mean, things that have been built on over nearly 50 years. We're talking about an economy that has been structured to be Euro core in so many ways. I'm just thinking here, is from your circles, from your political circles, is there any talk to that effect of some sort of a rerun or some reconsideration?
I mean, at the moment, I think a lot of people, in all honesty, are in shock. Because I think everybody thought that, you know, it's fine, you know, Remain will prevail. You know, people are afraid of the unknown. And even though there's all this, like, scaremongering and all these tactics, one would have thought that, you know, people, the British public will think, you know, the majority of the people would be thinking, well, we don't know what Britain is like without Europe. Do you know what I mean? Especially the young generation, who all we know is of life. That's to say that change is not free and that change is weakened. It's just to say that
David Cameron is right? Am I getting that right? Sorry.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct.
Oh.
That is correct. So.
Oh, because I've just seen.
Yes, no, that is correct. And we're looking to see. I would hope that we will have another general election. But in the interim, obviously, the opposition would have to decide.
So I'm waking up right now to see that David Cameron has just left. Wow.
Yeah. And In all honesty, I think, you know, it's not what he wanted for this country, and to have to pick up the pieces, you know, not with all that uncertainty, is a mammoth task for someone who doesn't believe in what's just happened. You know, so many things.
The blunder that he has created. Could he have avoided the referendum?
Well, I mean,
could he have handled it differently?
Well, he was the person who put it on the cards in the first place. You know, well, if we get elected, I will guarantee that we will have a referendum. So, in all fairness,
well, he could have still just skirted around it. He could have afforded to. I mean, there's so many things that he has avoided, that he has not fulfilled. I mean, I'm talking about, for instance, like the social housing, the offers for people on social housing to buy their houses and the like, and all. There's so many things right now. You would agree with me that have been that he has skipped. He could have easily skipped, especially with the death of Joe Cox, surely.
Well, I mean, if you look at the Conservative Party with the referendum, it was very split anyway. So there was, I can only imagine, I am not a member of the Conservative Party, so I can't speak on this because I have no idea how it came around. But judging by the EU referendum, one can only imagine that there was pressure for him to actually fulfill what he said. You know, you have, you know, people like Boris Johnson, you've got Michael Gove, you've got people who are obviously pro-leaving and were pro-leaving. So therefore, you can imagine internally that he had those pressures, whereas social housing might not have been an internal pressure. People might not have been like, well, you know, we have to deal with this, it's pressing. The EU referendum as well, we've got to remember, was not really party political. It was more so about individuals, because you had Labour people campaigning to go to stay in, and you had Labour people campaigning to go out. You had Conservative in and out. It wasn't, I'm the Labour Party, so I'm in, you know. It was more about, I think it was very much a personal thing. And one thing that obviously touches individuals at this moment in time, or one thing that people can scapegoat at this moment in time, is immigration. You know, people are frustrated about jobs. People are frustrated about the NHS. And, you know, it's easier to blame the other, isn't it? Than to look at, okay, well, why don't we have enough jobs? I mean, we can take nursing, for example. There are a lot of vacancies in nursing. We just don't have people to fill them. So therefore, we recruit from abroad. So that's not to say that there aren't enough jobs, that there's not enough jobs for the jobs out there, but people can't fill those jobs. Or looking at the fact that we've trained British nurses, but British nurses have opted to work in places like Australia and Canada because they get a better deal. So there are a lot of other issues, but it's much easier to blame it on immigration. Things like, okay, well, our surgeries are full and we can't. There's government cuts all the way from the top that have rippled down to the bottom, which has affected a lot of public services. I'm in local government, so I know firsthand how the government cuts have affected us. But it's very easy for people to say, well, you know, it's all these immigrants, when in fact, hold on, let's discuss the fact that we've got cuts here. Those weren't caused by the immigrants. And I think it's a lot of issues are still not answered. So people looked it up to, you know,
the
control
motive.
Immigration. Let's say the motive is to control immigration. So what exactly is being controlled and how is it being controlled now? What is the plan? We haven't even heard a plan. What will be different? We don't know what will be different. We don't even know who our next Prime Minister is going to be and their ideologies and what their agenda will be. So there's a lot of uncertainty from local, national, and moving forward, what we do next, where we go next. It's a very troubling time where the likes of, you know, Nigel Farage, Donald Trump have the platform. Some of the rhetoric that they push is very concerning. I feel like it's taking us back many, many years. But this is where we're at today, and all we can do is, you know, hope, have hope.
Do you foresee now? I'm going to take too much of your time, but do you foresee now a swing? I mean, there's going to be a general election here now, which is obvious, in the next few weeks. Is it weeks, by the way? What is the
process? It wouldn't be weeks. It would not be weeks at all.
It would be?
I think it wouldn't be weeks. I don't know the exact date. I think you can verify this, but I think he resigns in October. So he's resigned, but I think the process is obviously much longer than him just saying, I'm finished.
Oh,
yeah. So there's a lot more processes in place, and there will be a lot more party pressures. So, for example, if they want to elect a stand-in prime minister, you know, other parties will be like, okay, well, we need to push for a general election. That's what people will push for. But when that is, I can't say. I have no idea.
And do you foresee your party coming back, taking a swing back?
Well, we can only be hopeful. I think, you know, don't get in politics because you want to lose. You know, you get in politics because you want to make a difference. And
so, I mean, your party leader has been for Remain, hasn't he? He has been for stability.
Yeah, he has. He has. He has spoken tirelessly.
And generally, it has been said or assumed that Labour is more Remain than Leave.
Yeah, Remain was the party line.
And the Tories was generally Leave.
I mean, I can speak to the Labour Party because our party line was to vote Remain. And people who voted to Leave, you know, were allowed to do so. But coming from our leader, but he felt we should be voting. So we'd like to hope most people voted with the party line, but obviously with the turnout as it is, clearly not. And I can say from just looking at it, you know, with the Conservatives, it was very split. It was very, you know, you had David Cameron wanting in, you had Boris wanting out. So two quite prominent figures within the Conservative Party, actually. So I can't say they had a distinct line because there was always constantly leave and remain debates. So
this is Zimai Media, broadcasting all around the world, on the spot, on the dot.